I've picked the topic. This is the third lesson on believing in righteous judgment. And it's entitled, Keep Yourself from Idols. And the revelation that came to me when I read the passage, little children, keep yourself from idols, that it was talking to me. It wasn't talking to someone else. It was talking to me. And it's talking to all of us. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Well, what is a little child? And that's really clear in John, that it's a person that gets caught up in little faith. And it doesn't mean there are some situations where our faith expands and works well, but I think there's more situations that it doesn't. And those are the things that rob us of understanding how can we live every day in righteous judgment. Those are the things that come in and steal it away from us. And so I want to give you hopefully some, if you just remember a couple basic things, I think it will help you for us to realize that we don't need to usher in a kingdom. We need to realize the kingdom of God is within us. And then we take that with us out into the world. And that's a message. It's not a change in circumstances. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's a message. And there are times circumstances will line up with it. But I've learned a long time ago that, and even when Tony and I even talked about this, you know, he had a recording he played in front of all his messages. And I said, Tony, I think you got to quit playing that. Because it had a little blurb in there that it will bring financial gain to you. And it will bring health to you. And I said, what about the guy that dies? Or what about the guy that suffers here? Is it bringing that to them? And it's really, it's back to a grab it and blab it religion that we just have it. Now, Tony teaches against that all the time. See, that's the thing. He doesn't normally teach that way, right? So I'm not throwing Tony under the bus, but what I said yesterday, that language, those words, those things we speak that don't line up with truth have to go. We can't say that, we can't sing songs that talk about a remote God. Okay, and that's what we're going to focus on today. We can't send up prayers to an unknown God. Don't say anything, okay? And that's what we're focusing in on today. And so, how do we do that? Well, I want to shock you so you remember the things I shock you with. And you say, well, he didn't really mean the way it sounded, but I know what he meant, right? So that's why I want to shock you. And so I'm going to say to you, I don't believe in prayer. I don't believe in fasting. I don't believe in the devil. Okay? Now I'm going to say something I'm really going to shock you with. I don't believe in God either. Now give me a chance to explain that, okay? Would you? Before you get out the torches. Now listen. This is really, really big, okay? I don't believe in God. Now, if there were video cameras around and we were on TV, that's the only bite they would take, right? They'd only take that sound bite and they'd torch me, right? And I'd be on Hannity and Combs and next to Billy Graham and they'd be frying my butt, you know, right in front of everybody, right? You said you don't believe in God. And it's true. I don't believe in God. We need to stop there, though, just for a little bit, okay? We need to stop there for a little bit. That's a big one, okay? How can I say this? Whenever you say you believe in something, you become religious. How can you believe in a God? I took another A. I put A in there to help you soften it down a little bit, right? I don't believe in a God. How can you believe in a prayer? How can you believe in a devil when there's only God, there's nothing but God? That's the purest wisdom you're ever going to hear. And everything in this world contradicts that statement. Everything. That there's only God, there's nothing but God. In that statement, you can judge the world in righteousness. That's how you can live it. You can judge the world in righteousness. So, in's a big word. It's a really, really big word. Really big. So when we say in, automatically it pushes all our faith into a realm that's remote from us.
Yes. Yes.
See? That's why it's a killer word.
Yes.
It pushes us into a realm that's remote from us. If I believe in a God, or if I believe in God, he's somewhere else. There's no such God. There is no such God. There's no God that's remote from you. So when you say, I'm going to go pray to God, well, who are you praying to and what are you praying for? That's my first question. What is it you want? What is it you're not satisfied with? Right? It's killer. And I'm telling you, that language is everywhere. It is the universal language that's the great whore that's out there seeking a false kingdom. That's what it is. So all this is tying together. So, when you say the word in, based on how we've all done it, get down on your knees, you know, get up next to your bed, pray, now I lay me down to sleep, you know, and hope I don't swear while I'm snoring, you know, because that's what that prayer was about. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Because I did a lot of bad stuff that day. Right? So apparently that's a prayer of forgiveness, right? Well, hopefully you'll save me, God. I'm hoping. And hope's not a good word either. It's not a word of reality. It's a future word. So, the word in automatically pushes all your faith into a realm that is remote. And it's separate from that internal, eternal dwelling place of the Father. When you say you believe in God, you're really believing in an icon and an idol. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. One of the most unbelievable verses, I should have brought it out, but I could spend an hour just on the verse, but I spent a lot of time using the various translations that just expounded on the King James. It just sort of got rid of some of the fuzzy old English that doesn't really mean today what it did then. And I expounded on it, and I hear the true God saying, you don't know me. Why are you praying to all these gods that can't save you? And I mean, it just floored me. There's a whole lesson on it. I'll have to send it out. Why do you keep praying to gods that can't save you? Remote gods, right? Praying, believing in a God somewhere. We talked about that before. I believed he was going to be on this big throne, like on some kind of movie. You know, we're all going to sing hymns for 1,000 years. And Liz moaned and said, God help us, you know, because she can't sing a lick. So she'd have to be a trumpet player, I guess. I don't know. I love what Walter Lanyon said when he said, do you really believe you're going to sit on a harp, sit on a cloud and pluck a harp forever? Is that really what's going to happen? You're going to get really bored fast. How long can you do that, he said. So that's not it. We know that's not it. Heaven is God and the man, and that is as alive as it's going to get today. It can't get any more alive in you if you'd stop praying to a remote God. And so we've got to withdraw back our singing. We've got to withdraw back our requests and stop and think about that. What in the heck are we doing? Why do we just run to an idol every time something doesn't go right? Because that's what it is. Why? Why? Because we've been taught things for a long time. We've been taught how to do it wrong, and it's a big mess, right? And so it's going to take some time. That's the work, to try to undo a lot of that. And so to me, I think we got to go out there and say, what is it we're speaking that we need to identify it? Because I found people say, oh, I believe in that, and then they'll send me emails or I'll hear messages, and all that stuff is still peppered within the messages, see? And so it says to me they really don't understand it. That's what it says to me. And I want people to understand it. I went through this in Episcopal church once because Diane struggled leaving the fellowship of what it's like to be in a church. She struggled with that. And I said, well, fine, you can keep going. And we bounced around a little bit. She did. And then we ended up going to this Episcopal church because they never really said anything. So it wasn't so bad. You know what I mean? And it's a beautiful building. And we got... And we were standing up and sitting down and coughing and barking and, you know, do this and say that and Holy Mary and come up and get the wafer. And they had real wine, so I liked that. You know, I said, can I have seconds, you know? And finally I turned to her and said, Diane, I can't do this anymore. I can't stand up and sit down and pray like a dog. You know, and that was the last time I ever went into a church. And I knew better. I was just doing it for her. I knew better, and I said, you can keep going, but I can't do it anymore. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not going to pray to an idol anymore, guys. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sing songs that don't speak truth. I'm going to put a watch over my mouth. I'm going to slow down and live in a realm of response and truth instead of reaction in the flesh. And I'm still working on that, okay? But I really know the difference. While it's happening, I've said, Nevins, while my mouth is speaking, my spirit is saying, what in the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Can you hear yourself? Yeah. And it's still going. So I let it work its way out, right? It's sort of like squeezing a toothpaste tube. You know, I let it get done. And I'm going, whew, I'm not going to do that again. You know? And that's what I mean about our minds and everything catching up with reality. You've got to let go of your responses. As long as you know in your being this nucleus of truth, it will start to correct itself on its own. It will. So you can't worry about this babbling, as long as you don't agree with it. See? So if your spirit begins to teach you, now wait a minute, I don't agree with that anymore. Okay? And I think it's okay to have prayers of thankfulness and contentment together. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. At least it isn't untruth. But you just got to remember, there isn't some God out there that hears the prayer. You're basically praying to yourself. You're praying to that center where God dwells, okay? And maybe it's not a prayer. Maybe it's just an expression of thankfulness. Maybe we should quit calling it prayer. I don't know, right? Maybe that's the wrong word. I don't want to go that far because then I'd really get hung, you know? But someone asked me one time, do you believe in the power of prayer? And I said, absolutely not. I don't believe in any power over anything. I believe in the Father, who is that peace within me. So I don't believe in any power. There's really no such thing as power. So I try not to use that word anymore. Now it creeps in now and then. If there's only God, there's nothing but God. There's only one being. There's only one being out there. We are an expression of that being. Okay? And there seems to be some murmuring that there might be a devil running around out there somewhere with horns, okay? I mean, I've heard it. I've heard it.
He's red, too.
He is red. He's good looking. He's gorgeous. Guys, listen to me. The devil, Satan, the serpent, is man's tongue speaking lies.
Yes, that's true.
It's our tongue speaking lies against ourselves. Mm-hmm. Can salt and fresh water come from the same source? Absolutely not. So when I say we've got to put a guard over our mouth, I'm not saying judge yourself for it. I'm saying realize the difference. Realize the difference between flesh and spirit, right? Between a man that's babbling lies and the spirit that always speaks truth to you. We have to know the difference between that, so that chatter begins to slow down a little bit, okay? So it begins to slow down a little bit, and we learn how to live in the response of love and spirit to those things that come and trip us up, okay? Now the kidney stones tripped me up, I gotta admit. The pain was so severe it nailed me, okay? And I wasn't in my right mind for 4 hours. There's no question about it, okay? Now, at the same time, there was a real peace within me that I was, whatever the result was going to be, I wasn't afraid of that. But the pain was so severe, it knocked me off my rocker, you know, and I didn't manage that really well. We finally got it under control, you know, a little bit, but it was great. So, when we say we believe in God, we're not understanding fully that I am that's within you. It's not manifest itself in a full way yet, the realization of that. There is no power. I'm going to say this again because this is really big within infinite way. There is no power called the devil. There is no power called the spirit of error. Now, they didn't really say the spirit of error had power, but anytime somebody farted, they said it was error. And it was going to get you. That's what they said. All the time. Miranda and I have shared that. She was with Yasha just like I was. And Miranda said to me, which really sums it all up, she said, Mike, I found no love there. There was no love there. It turned into really a cult. Really has turned into a cult. I don't know how that could happen with as wonderful as Joel's message was, but I found in this case his message at the beginning was very, very pure, and it turned into a religion somehow at the end. It turned into a religion. And I don't want what we're talking about to become a religion. This isn't about me. It's not about me knowing something more than someone else because I don't know anything. The stuff I'm hearing, I'm telling you guys, is not coming from me. And that's why I struggle sometimes even expressing it because it's strange. It's a strange language to me. It's new. But when I hear it, I say, oh. When I hear it, it means then I can't speak this anymore, and I can't speak that anymore, and I can't speak this anymore. That's what it means to me. And that's what heals me. That's what corrects me. Not in judgment, but in righteousness. See? It's a great deliverance. And it really has brought me to a place where when I go into work now, I know whenever I go in, I have the wisdom to deal with everything that comes to me. If I wait past the reaction, the initial reaction, if I'll be still long enough to let all that self work itself out. Now, before I used to do a lot of blabbing, and I've learned mostly to be quiet. Now again, you know, Mark nailed me on the kidney stone things. That's great. I wasn't quiet then. Okay, so I got to work on that one some more, right? That's good. But I'm confessing to you, if a bear starts chasing me down the road, I guarantee I'm going to run. So I'm going to have to work on that one too, right? I'll have to work on that one, right? I will run, I'm telling you right now. Now, I'm not sure I'll get up a tree, but I'll at least run and hide behind the tree anyway. Okay? So, If we believe that there's only God and there's nothing but God, there is nothing out there trying to get you.
That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
Outside of your own delusion in your mind.
Amen.
Now, we got into this thing, Pigs of the Parlor. Anybody ever read that book?
Yeah.
Oh, it was hilarious. I'm telling you. I remember going into Fuddruckers and I stole Mike's hamburger because he had my same name and I was hungry. And I blamed the devil, okay? I said, the devil made me do it. Mike, come up and get your hamburger. And I went up there, I realized it wasn't my hamburger. And I was so hungry, I took it. I said, well, he's going to end up with mine. Because they let you dress your own burgers, right? So the next Mike's going to get my burger, right? But that was I had to go home and they had to put hands on me and deliver that demon out of me, okay? They had to get rid of that pig in the parlor, you know? Isn't that funny? And so anytime the wind howled and a shutter crashed when I was in that house, the devil was surrounding the place. Because we were so consumed with that teaching that every time something creaked, it was the devil. So it was crazy. Well, guess what? When I quit believing, it all went away. Isn't that something? And that's what I'm talking about. Put a watch over your tongue. If you're saying that, it's coming from some place of unbelief in your life. That's what I mean. And so, Father, what is that? That's the prayer you need to ask. Father, what is that unbelief that's troubling me? What is it? I'm speaking it. And if you don't find something catching you while you're speaking it and telling you it's untrue, then it's not true. Right? If something's telling you, like when I was watching myself act like a crazy man, Mike, what the hell are you doing? See, right away, the Spirit was telling me, you know. Okay, well, let's let that work itself out. And the next time I go, no, I'm not going to agree with that because it's not true mm-hmm. anymore.
That's right.
And so when I quit believing in the spirit of error, it went away. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? Why? Because it was all going on in between my ears.
Yes.
All of it.
Yes.
Now, I know this group hasn't been around that teaching a lot, you know, but there's a lot of people that have been involved in Infinite Way that listen to us, and so I'm saying it for them. But the devil, the spirit of error, it's all the same thing, okay? Ours is the devil, theirs is the spirit of error. It's said that he took charge over principalities and powers. And what it's saying, and when it's said, Satan's coming, but he has no place in me. This is the key. The principality and powers meant he took charge of all the illusions that come from our judgment of this world and its circumstances. Those are the principalities and powers that seem to be real to us. They seem to be alive to us, right? And so because of that belief, then they become alive in this world. We really believe they're real, and they're not. Because, why? They're not eternal.
Amen.
Anything that's not eternal is temporary. It's not reality. Anything. That's why I can say to you, you're not a physical human being that can die.
Hallelujah.
Now there's 70 that's going to stack up against that. Isn't there?
Yeah.
But what did Solomon say? Your life is as a vapor.
Uh-huh.
Peter said that. Solomon said your life is vanity.
Yeah.
And it's talking about this illusion we talked about this morning. Of our faith in our personality,
yes.
Right? And our focus on individualism and self-centeredness, which is the ego. So this is what he meant when he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now that sounds like judgment, but not if we correctly define it, okay? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Well, where's he at? and here. So we've got to define the him a little better. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. It has nothing to do with works. But really what it means is that it's impossible for you to be satisfied until you realize that God is the I am of who you are. You can't be pleased. You can't be pleased. That's what it's talking about. The spirit within you can't be satisfied enough for you to rest in righteousness and peace and joy. That's what it means. Because that's where the Father is. He's not, remember, he's not out there somewhere. It's not, he's impossible to please some guy out there that's judging you for your thoughts or actions. That's Santa Claus. There's no Santa Claus. I don't believe in Santa Claus, okay? There is no Santa Claus. So without faith, it's impossible for you to be satisfied and be at peace and at rest. That's really what it means, okay? So, at this moment, you already have all things for life and godliness dwelling within you. Nothing can change that.
Hallelujah.
Nothing. No principalities or powers can change that. No thoughts of unbelief or unfaith can change that reality. Principalities and powers dwell outside the kingdom, so it's an illusion. Okay? And so Jesus says, the lie has no place in me anymore. Now, if you think Jesus never struggled with that, you're wrong. He had to grow into who he was, just like we do. And that's how you have to translate Scripture. People, men, wrote stories about their lives as they were transformed from hell and destruction into life. And that's why it seems there's contradictions. But all the stories are different. When I read this book, it's his story. Right? There's no such thing as synchronized Scripture. And that it's all got to mean the same thing. It doesn't. And that cleared up all that baloney about judging the Bible. You know, we could all write a book about our lives, and if I wasn't there to tell you why, just like I am now, it would make sense to you. But there are truths everywhere that are synchronized. And when we get to the end and find our life, with it, it becomes harmonious, right? And it becomes one. And so, do you believe you have all things for life and godliness? Do you walk in that? Are you just going to say it back to me and believe it in your mind? Do you walk in that? Or are you going to pray to a God for something more?
No.
And in James then, ask amiss. Ask amiss because you're consuming it upon your own lust for some other life that you don't have. That's what it's talking about. Some other life that I'm not happy with, God, right now. I haven't arrived yet. And so I need this, and I need this straightened out, and I need this fixed, and I need that changed. And I wish they quit fighting in Egypt. And all those things. I do too. You know, there's a sense of me that wants to see peace on earth, but I can't let that statement trap me back into judging the world again in unrighteousness. That's what I can't do. I can't go back there anymore, guys. I'm not going to do it. So I hear it, and there might be a moan and a sadness, but I'm not going there again. I'm not going to do it again. So when we pray to a God or believe in a God for something more within this realm, when you already have all things, you're praying a prayer of unbelief. In what? the reality that you already have all things for life and godliness. The reality that you already have all things. It's a prayer of unbelief. That's a shocker, isn't it? How many prayers, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many prayers have we prayed of unbelief? Ask yourself, this is the answer, ask yourself, can I be satisfied with all things for life and godliness? Just pause, all things for life and godliness. Can I be satisfied with that? Am I satisfied with it? Abraham struggled with it, didn't he? God came to him and he said, Abraham, hello, I'm your reward. And what did he do? First thing he did is, well, that's great, but I need a son. Thank you, but I don't have a son. So I give all my stuff to. Take over my concubine when I die. Okay, all right. He didn't get it, did he? He didn't get it. So, when we believe in a God and when we pray to a God, so the word A is big too, isn't it? The word in and A are big words, they're huge words. When we believe in a remote God, when we pray to a remote God that is separate from us, because that's what we're doing, we're praying to an unknown God. We're praying to a God that's not really known to us. Remember Mars Hill? To the unknown God. At least they were honest. At least they said they didn't know him. At least they were honest about it. To the unknown God. But it says, to know him is life eternal. To know him is life. There's life eternal. It gets rid of all the health issues in one statement, doesn't it? To know him is life eternal. To know that there's only God, there's nothing but God, and he is all you are in this moment, is life eternal. So we need to stop praying to a remote God. That's the goal this afternoon. Let's stop praying to a remote God, people. Let's just pray a prayer of thankfulness for what we have and all that he is within us right now. Let's practice that for a while. How about a year? That's all you say. Tie ourselves to a tree in a jungle somewhere and the bird drops food to you every day. And just say, thank you, God, that you're all I am. We'll just get a parrot that keeps saying it to us over and over, right? Let's just try that. Could we try it?
Yes.
How about just a week, guys? Yes. Just think about it. Now, I don't want you to get you in judgment. I want you to be delivered from all the judgment that surrounds you. That's what I want. That's all I want for each one of you. For everyone that's listening. Can we be satisfied? Because that satisfaction will heal everything that comes to you. You'll be healed in your mind, because that's what you need. We need to be delivered and healed within our mind.
Yes.
We don't need physical healing. I want to learn within the trouble. As the sparks are flying upwards, I want to learn from the sparks flying upwards. I don't want to just put them out, because that's what religion does. It's just trying to put the sparks out. This group's trying to get rid of this spark, and this group's trying to get rid of this spark, you know, and they're still flying. But in reality, it won't matter what's flying on around me. I'll walk through it, and even if 10,000 fall, it won't touch me. Now, that's reality.
Hallelujah.
That's living. And it says 10,000, that's a lot. Well, Legion had a, Legion was, what's a Legion, 1,100? 2,000? Yeah, Legion. That's enough. The 2,000 pigs went down in the river and drowned, right? Is that the whole story?
I don't think it was that many pigs.
Well, whatever. There was a legion of devils. They all went into the pigs. But if that's all we get out of it, we don't get the story. Now, I got a whole message on it that's beautiful, right? We did that already. I think we got that one down, right? The key was that all at the end, it said he was found in his right mind. So the legion is all of these thoughts and prayers to unknown gods and the troubles we get because of the appearances of the world. That's the legion. And it can be unlimited. But that's what troubles our mind. That's what kicks the man out of his rightful inheritance. And so there's not something wrong with you if you think, everybody thinks they've got more trouble than the next guy. I remember getting in one meeting once and I talked about all the things that I went through. And the guy next to me couldn't wait till I could shut up so he could tell me his, because he had more than I did. So we got in an argument about who had more. I backed out of it pretty quick. I said, well, you win. You know, woe is me, right? Okay, I want to share something from Bob Hughes that I hope I can express it the way he meant it. In Psalm 137, it says, the Israelites found themselves captives in the land of Babylon. That represents a state of confusion. The Israelites found themselves captives in a state of confusion. And so they hung their harps up on the willow trees. And they quit singing. That's what it says. They hung their harps up on the willow trees. And their captors, again, all of the thoughts, all of the things that trouble us, their captors demanded songs, and they said, we can't sing in a strange land where we used to sing a song. We can't. We can't sing in a strange land. Now, it says, I'm going to take my harp down from the willow tree, and my heart is going to sing a song of victory, because my past is forgiven. And we've talked about forgiveness. It means it's gone, right? Not to be remembered anymore. My home is in heaven. All sorrow is gone, and now I'm free. Beautiful passage. That's from Bob Hughes. That was his interpretation of some revelation he got from the message in November. It's beautiful. How often are we playing our harps and singing songs of thankfulness to the Father? Maybe that's what you can do, Liz. Play a harp. Start taking harp lessons. Okay? You don't have to sing with that. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I'd like
to sing. Here's another shocking statement. Just bear with me, okay? I'm trying real hard to deliver this. When the mind goes, so does the man. Our personality is a mind judging the appearances based on our senses. But when we realize there's no such thing as humanity, we've got to start redefining ourselves, don't we? We've got to start speaking truth to ourselves about what's real. We've been saying these things so long that they've trapped us into an ego, a personality that thinks it's unique, that thinks it's different, and the only thing that makes you different is your own opinion of yourself. Now, it just is coming to me now that the only thing that's going to survive past this realm is just the revelation of oneness and love and righteous judgment.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to survive outside of that. And any activities that's went on in our lives, will be carried forward with us.
Yeah.
That's in line with truth. But nothing is going to enter the kingdom that defiles or makes a lie. And so I don't want to say I'm in the kingdom and speak lies at the same time, although we can't be anything other than children of the kingdom. We spent a lot of time on that passage too, because there's a verse that says, "And the children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness because of the illusions of their mind." That's what casts us out of our inheritance. It's just our own mind. So there's only one body, there's only one spirit. There's only one being expressed in a myriad of ways. But we don't focus on the differences. We can't brag about the differences. The differences don't matter. We focus on the unconditional love and oneness of truth. Now, I've got some things to share, some conversations I'd have with Gary, and the title of this little section is called Losing Your Audience, which is one of the things I was thinking about, you know, when I started hearing some of these shockers. Okay? We got a lot of them this weekend. There's been a half a dozen of them. I don't believe in God. Full stop. You answer it yourself. I want you to answer that yourself. I don't want to tell you. You have to answer that yourself. You have to say that yourself and believe it. I don't believe in God. You have to say, I don't believe. When I say I believe in God and pray to a God, then I'm praying to a remote God somewhere to help me with the problem. You've got to work through that yourself. Okay? But I'm just telling you, I don't believe in God. In something separate from me. Because that's when we say that, that's what we're doing. That's why I got to say it that way. Because that's what we're doing. So I have to say it that way. To get people's attention. Because I want to get somewhere, you know, with this stuff. So, losing your audience. So I was talking with Gary and something came to me and it says, why do you suppose that the closer we get to truth, the closer we get to wisdom, the more we understand pure wisdom, the less man wants to listen? And Gary said to me, he said, more people have fallen away since we've started sharing these wonderful revelations. There seems to be less and less people listening. And Gary said, it used to be we had a ministry where we had thousands of people listening, and people gave to us over $10,000 a month. And he says, as I got more revelation and more truth about who we are and who God is, that dwindled down to a few hundred dollars a month and a couple hundred people.
Wow.
Does that really surprise us?
No.
John told us why. John made a real clear statement as to why. He said, no man has ever seen God at any time. So when John said that, what he meant was, as long as you think, as long as you believe you're a physical human being, you will never see the true Father. That's what it means. Now, if I spend enough time on that for that all to collect together, that's what it means. As long as you believe you're a physical human being, you believe you're separate from God. And you'll be praying to a remote, unknown God. That's not good. Now that's trouble right here in River City. Okay? Because we know, we found it doesn't work all the time. Does it? And it means it isn't real. Because there's not God out there that blesses you sometimes and not another. He says, I'm going to end the whole thing right now. I'm just going to give you all of myself. And that should be enough for you. Okay, Mike? Is all enough? Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
All's enough.
Thank you, God.
I think all's enough, isn't it, Rex? There's not much more than all. Is there more than all?
No.
All. All things for life and godliness, and it's me? Hello. Hello, Mike, it's me. Come in. Come in. Come in. God kept coming all the time, and he said, fear not, I'm with you.
Hallelujah.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Fear not, I am in you. That's what he meant. Fear not, all that I am and all you need for life and godliness is within you. Fear not. Fear not. It's all in there. No man is ever going to believe it. No man's ever going to believe it. So Jesus said you've got to lose your definition of life to find it.
Yes.
He said you've got to use your life to find it. I added a few words in there. Is that okay? You've got to lose your definition of life to find real life. Because ours is screwed up. It's all messed up. No man will ever see it because there is some event, some circumstance that's always approaching you that robs you of that beautiful understanding. The cares of this world always choke out the truth. And that's why Jesus said, judge not by appearances, Mike, but judge righteous judgment. So all the answers to our questions, to Miranda's question, are within that passage, judge not by appearances. But that means a lot of things. Judge not by appearances is a huge semi full of stuff. It might be 10 semis full of stuff. That's a big thing. Where am I judging by appearances? Because that's where all our fear stems from. So, I want to define to you what a human being is, just to bring it home a little more, okay? Definition of a human being, which we've said isn't real, okay? This will help bring it home. A human being is a mind screwed onto a body. It's a man judging by appearances based on what he believes he wants. And it's hard to be satisfied when you don't know who you are, when you're operating in that realm. It's hard to be satisfied when we're scrambling around trying to drag all the appearances and circumstances in and try to line them up and then think we're being blessed. That's the old picture. That's the old picture. It's Hebrewism, big time. It's the Old Testament. It's not reality. But for some reason, man will hang on to his humanhood as opposed to seeing God. He'll cry, he'll whine. Mike, I hear it all the time. Mike, what about this? Mike, what about that? You can't mean this. You can't mean that. And by the way, yes, I do. I mean exactly what I said when I say I don't believe in God. Now, you can ask me for more clarification, and I gave it to you. But that's the statement that's going to help keep me, is what I'm saying. Right? Because I know what that means. It means I'm going to quit praying to an unknown God that's out there somewhere trying to help me. But it isn't working. It doesn't work all the time. That thing don't work. I give up on it, okay? It don't work. I'm done with it. If I've got to stand alone in a cornfield for 100 years by myself, I'll do it. I'd like an amplified Bible if I could. Okay? Because I like that version. You know, but I used to go out every day and take my amplified Bible out into the woods back when I had a counseling ministry. And I keep saying to my one buddy all the time, all I need is my amplified Bible. That's all I want. And I love that translation. It's pretty good. So, I'm going to keep saying it, even if 10,000 fall. Father, I'm going to believe in the you of me, no matter what anybody does or says. It brings reality into the statement, fear not, I'm with you. I'm going to believe in the you of me that dwells eternally within me and is going to carry me into the next realm.
Yes.
And I'm going to quit following around. I'm going to quit chasing my tail like a crazy dog and just stop and take a deep breath. Now, how far can you get chasing your tail? Nowhere. You can dig a hole in the ground. You know, but I don't want to be a dog chasing my tail anymore. Even if my mind fails me, which it does, even when my own mind judges myself through the circumstances that seem to surround me, I know who you are, Father, because I know who I am. And I know this is life eternal. There is nothing but God as me. Nothing. There's only God. There's nothing but God. And He is who I am. What an unbelievable truth. That's not an ego. That's not a man trying to find something else. That is a power and truth that you can take into every situation. If you got to tattoo it on your butt and your forehead and your arms, do it. Okay? Remind yourself of who you are. And remind yourself that that person is never self-centered. He lays down his life for his friends. Never selfish. That's why all of our cries for something more are selfishness, selfish cries. God, what do you give me? Seeing I don't have a son. God, what do you give me? Seeing I don't have this. God, what do you give me? Seeing I got a problem with that. God, what do you give me? See what's going on over in Syria. We need to fix that. We need to fix this. Okay, the only thing that needs to be fixed is the reality of who you are. And with that, truth and righteousness and peace will follow you all of the days of your life. And then you can go read Psalm 23 and really know what it means. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything outside of who I am. What does it mean if the Lord is your shepherd? It's not a shepherd standing behind you, herding you around with an Australian sheepdog and a cane. That's not what it is. The Lord is your shepherd, is the Lord is all, everything you'll ever be for eternity. And I'd like to realize that now instead of waiting until my toe quits wiggling, okay, guys? I'd like to not wait till my toe stops wiggling to find that out. Because every knee will bow. And it's not my job to do that. That's not my job. My only job is to believe it as a reality for me. That's what it is. And so, little children, keep yourself from idols. We got to know what that means, okay? So, I want to close and read to you the revelation that's coming to Lisden Hartog. She's wrote me some long, just beautiful, gorgeous emails. And
is that Tony's daughter?
His daughter-in-law. It's Robbie's. Did any of you watch the memorial service I put on the
thing? Did you watch the memorial He couldn't find it.
Oh, I couldn't pull it up.
Oh, he couldn't pull it up? Oh, well, we can watch it today.
Well, I don't. It's pretty long.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we can do other things besides watch that, but it doesn't matter. But Liz ministers a lot when Tony's away. Okay, and she's very hungry, very beautiful gal, and has struggled a lot before she met Robbie, and she was brought up in a really abusive situation and never felt much of any kind of love from her family at all, very little if any. And it made her very fearful in relationships. And it's just beautiful because she's written me many times. And I want to read just part of what she wrote in closing. And she says, Mike, this was after Tony's passing. She said, Mike, I'm realizing so much more that there's only God. And that it is God's good pleasure for us all to awaken and walk in this understanding continually. This is my challenge daily. And I'm grateful to you for all, for making me realize the spiritual closeness of this walk. That is, that God is closer than my very breath, and that God's kingdom is changeless. This means I don't have to fight the appearances any longer. Wow, what a relief, she says. What a relief. It means that the outer appearances are continually subject to change, and therefore they cannot be part of the true kingdom. Thank you for that confirmation. We've been talking about it all day. They cannot be part of the true kingdom. So I don't have to be concerned about them as much anymore. I'd like her to say more than as much. But that's a good start, isn't it? Huh? Can you just start with a few? How about just a big one? Whatever the biggest one you got, I bet you if you work on that one, a lot of the other ones will just fall away. So I like the Chinese in that. If you got a cold, let me come up here and I'm going to hammer your knee real hard and your cold will go away. There's some truth to that. I believe it. I'm not starting a ministry, don't get me wrong. We're not going to go buy hammers and practice this stuff, but I'm just saying, there's something about getting off of something in the turmoil of your mind that delivers you. There's something about that. You know, I have heard those words for so long now, but suddenly they have substance. And now I'm hearing the word in capital letters instead of words, which it's bringing a whole different understanding to me. I'm viewing from a higher place now, where judging by the appearances is becoming less and less, and it feels really good. It feels really good, she says. I'm learning also to shut my mouth and be a watcher. That's good advice. Not too many people get in trouble by being quiet. So that might be a good start. Just shut up and listen. Just try it for a while. One thing that witnessed with me when you shared on the Friday night, last November's meetings, was about not judging by the outer appearances, but rather to judge righteous judgment. Then you said, and this is the key to this whole weekend, then you said, teach me the difference, Lord, because my Father's judging everyone in righteous judgment. Teach me the difference between that. That's what we need to do. The difference between flesh and spirit. She says, teach me the difference. That's a great prayer. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. I remember a little girl that was saying that on this one recording, and my heart just melted. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. That's all she said. She just kept saying it. Brings tears to my eyes just hearing that. Let the little children come unto me. They're not complicated people, are they, little children? We grow up and think we're smart. That's bad news. We get intelligent, don't we? We bring all the burdens of the whole world that come upon our shoulders. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Then you said, teach me the difference, Lord, because my father is judging everyone in righteous judgment. She said, that really hit me because I know judging by the appearances is the one thing which keeps us earthbound. And it is a very difficult thing to let go of since we are confronted with it on a constant basis. We've been talking about that all weekend, right? There's a myriad of things that want to come and trip you up. There's a legion of them. But I want to find myself in my right mind, okay? Because it's the only thing that gives me the energy to run this business. It's the only thing. Or I wouldn't be doing it anymore because I'm wore out. It's my seventh business. I've had enough of this business stuff. Okay? I want to say that again. Teach me the difference, Father, between judging by appearances and righteous judgment. It really hit me because I know judging by appearances is the one thing which keeps us earthbound. And it is a very difficult thing to let go of since we are confronted with it on a constant basis. But then you said, perfect judgment, perfect peace comes from non-judgment in a changeless kingdom. These are very serious words, Mike, and certainly what I need to hear to let go of the old way. I know God is love. I've experienced it, and it's wonderful. It is this love which is perfect judgment and perfect peace. Out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, and we behold His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm seeing it, and it is wonderful. Liz Den Hartog. So, why don't we just be still for a little bit, and that'll be the end of this week's lessons, okay?